Welcome to the Revitalize Woman podcast with Dr. Brenda Heineke, where we bring health and wellness professionals together to talk about all aspects of women's health, from pregnancy to menopause and everything in between. Hey there, thanks for tuning in today. I'm so excited because we're going to talk today about an alternative to hospital childbirth and a thing called physiological birth. This episode is going to be really great for anyone that's pregnant or planning on having children, regardless of what your birth plan is. I'm so excited to introduce my guest today, Lynette McQuitty, who is a certified nurse midwife and also the owner of Authentic Birth Center. I have known Lynette for many years now, and we have collaborated on several events in the past here at Revitalized Physical Therapy. She also was my midwife and delivered Stella back in May, which I cannot say enough great things about. I really hope you enjoy our conversation today and all of the great pieces of information. One more thing before we jump in. If you're looking for more insider advice and support through the different stages that we all go through as women, head on over and join our exclusive Facebook community called The Revitalized Woman, if you haven't done so already. We would love to have you. Okay, let's jump in right away to my talk with Lynette. Hey, Lynette, thank you so much for being here today.
Thanks, Brenda.
Yeah, I'm super excited to have you on here and get to pick your brain about everything related to babies and birth today.
All things birth.
So why don't we kind of start out with you kind of telling a little bit about your background and how you got started in midwifery and how you started Authentic.
Okay, well, again, my name is Lynette McQuitty, and I'm a certified professional midwife. And for 30 years prior, I was a birth doula doing labor support in hospital settings. My mom was head of the teen pregnancy program in the city of Milwaukee and really focused on helping that population who were in unexpected situations and needed a little more help in the hospital setting. There wasn't a license that was available in the state of Wisconsin until 2007. So in 2007 then, as a mom of four already, I went to college and went to National College of Midwifery in New Mexico, got my degree from there, got my degree in midwifery and started doing out of hospital birth, which is now called community-based birth.
Oh, interesting.
Looked for a building for years and years and years and didn't find exactly what I wanted because the old perception was a Victorian house that smelled like mothballs, and that wasn't quite my style.
It wasn't your vision.
No, that really wasn't. So continued to look for a building until we found our home here in Wauwatosa. And now I'm doing my postgraduate work in international midwifery, which is really a new perspective on an old way of doing things.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
What's kind of your plan with that then?
Really to give back to the community in new and better ways that are without pharmacological assistance.
Okay.
And really being a place for that evidence-based research that is better in other countries than here in the United States.
Yeah. Definitely.
Mm-hmm.
So tell me a little bit, for those that aren't aware of Authentic Birth Center and what you do, can you give me a little bit about what you do there and kind of how are you guys different?
Yeah, sure. So our specialty is physiological birth, which is a term that's not often spoken of.
Mm-hmm.
And really what it means is an instinctual way to birth your baby.
Sure.
And when our brain is not in that thinking part, not answering questions, not really focused on trying to calculate things in our brain, when we're really instinctual, our bodies work really, really well.
Mm.
So the design is to know our families really, really well before they ever enter labor. So really building that relationship before they ever come in labor to know all of the questions that we would ask. And we do that through electronic health records and long prenatal visits, and really having what I call communication care. So conversational care, and really having that open conversation with our patients to get to know them.
Sure.
Then when they enter labor, they come into our facility, which they know really well from all their prenatal visits. It's a comfortable place for them to be, because when they come in, we offer them tea and water just at their normal visits. So when they come in labor, we bring them right back to a birth suite. And you know, our signature our signature birth suites have fiber optic stars in the ceiling. And, you know, that people think, oh, gosh, that's really pretty. But again, it's purposeful for that physiological birth. We know that when it's dark out, the stars are out. And when it's dark out, it's quiet and it's peaceful. And when we go out at night alone, we feel really comforted in just the calm that that starry night brings. So when we bring the family back to our birthing suite, they've already been prepped, and through all of their prenatals, they know that when we're not talking, that means things are going well. So we're silent. They look at those fiber optic stars. It kind of is a little bit mesmerizing. When it's dark out, our eyes dilate. When our eyes dilate, our cervixes dilate, and we have really calm, peaceful, lovely, lovely physiological births most of the time in those beautiful water birth tubs.
Yeah. Yeah, I know you guys, I've heard you talk several times about kind of keeping everything dark and dimly lit because of all the benefits with that, with helping things kind of progress, but also keeping you in that relaxed, calm state and not kind of stimulating the nervous system
unnecessarily. And then you just get in that beautiful warm water, and the minute moms relax and go, ah, take that big breath, then pretty quickly we hear, oh, the baby's coming.
So, and you just added the fourth birth suite at Authentic, which I do want to say that for those listening, if you haven't ever like seen Authentic Birth Center or you've never taken a tour, they do offer that monthly on the first Wednesday of every month.
Correct.
Where you can kind of learn a lot more about it. But the place is beautiful. You guys have done such a great job.
Thank you.
When did you have the fourth birth suite? Was it June?
December, just in December.
Okay.
So we started out with three, and you can see them on our website, authenticbirthcenter.com. But we really are growing, and we're only 6 years new. But this morning, at 7:45 this morning, we had baby number 571.
Okay.
So 6 years ago, we started out slow, and now we're booking into June, so those ladies have just peed on the stick. I think this last one called us before she told her husband. But we had three birth suites for 5.5 years, and then there was a need. We've never been full, where we, you know, didn't have a place for someone.
Sure.
But we like to have options, and we anticipate more growth. So in that anticipation, we just built that fourth birth suite called Joy.
Nice. Awesome. And the other three are the Nest, Serenity, and Sophia suite, correct?
Correct. Yes. Awesome.
And then you also have, so at Authentic, there are four midwives total there.
Right. And it's kind of an unusual grouping, because we have two certified nurse midwives and two certified professional midwives. So that allows us, it really allows us just more help when we need it.
Okay.
The certified nurse midwives have prescriptive authority. So although we like to start with natural things first, sometimes there's a need for a pharmaceutical. So sometimes a urinary tract infection and we need an antibiotic, or mastitis after the baby's born and we need an antibiotic, or something with that additional prescriptive authority, we have that right on site.
Yeah, that's great. Mm-hmm. That's great. And you also have a couple other services there as well.
We do. So we have ultrasound.
Okay.
So we can take care of all that. We have our own lab there. So we do all our own lab work right on site. We have two chiropractors that have their chiropractic office down there. Mm-hmm. We have a psychologist, Dr. Jenny, who sees our families through all of the transitions that sometimes come along with changes to families.
Yeah.
And then we have our international board certified lactation consultant, Molly. She has her own room now too, which we built after Joy was constructed.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
That's great.
Yeah.
You guys have a one-stop shop there.
Well, we try.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And anything else new and exciting coming up?
There's
always doing something.
We're always doing something. Yeah.
I feel like you and I are always coming up with these crazy ideas.
You know, I love the way you think, Brenda, because you always put yourself in the place of your patient and you think, what would be most helpful for my patients? And that's what we do as well.
Yeah.
And so the next thing that we saw a need for was a milk bank. So in October, we'll be opening a milk bank.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So is that like donation based then?
It is. It's human breast milk that has been screened you know, all the documentation done on it. And then it's just a convenient place to get it rather than, I think right now there's a place in Brookfield, there's a pharmacy that you can go to in Brookfield, far out. So it's just a more convenient place for families who are, you know, becoming parents through adoption or through surrogacy. We have, you know, special circumstances where moms need that additional help from somebody else's gracious gift of milk.
Sure.
So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's exciting. I will link to all of these in the show notes as well, too. So if you're listening to this and you want more information, I will put kind of the places where you can go to for that on there. So
awesome.
I do want to kind of circle back. You mentioned water births before.
Mm-hmm.
And so just to kind of give everyone a little background story, I actually just had my second baby at Authentic with Lynette in May, and so I've known Lynette for many years now and have heard all of these great things, and I have seen really a pretty big difference in terms of the moms birthing at Authentic versus the hospital in terms of their kind of postpartum journey here at the office at Revitalized Physical Therapy. And so really wanted to do that myself. And so we had Stella there. And I don't even remember what birth suite.
She was in Sophia.
Okay,
and she was born in the water. Yes. Yeah.
Barely. But you know, now when people kind of ask me like how things went, what my birth story was with her, it's amazing how so many people like aren't even aware of water births or how that
happens.
Mm-hmm. And so I thought it'd be really great if you could kind of explain a little what happens in water birth.
Well, our first concern is safety of moms and babies, and we only take low risk families, so that makes things easier right from the start. And then our equipment for water birth is obviously a beautiful water birth tub. The most important feature of the tub, though, is an ozonator. So all of our tubs are equipped with ozonators. And that's what our water treatment plants are using to purify your drinking water.
Mm-hmm.
So we have that purified ozonated water in the tubs, which keeps everything safe. Then, as I mentioned before, when moms get into that water and we make sure that the water is exactly body temperature, so around 98.6, 98.8,
sure,
all the way up to 100.2, and we have laser thermometers to check that water temperature. When moms get into that water and relax, the tissues soften. Mm-hmm. And when we have nice, soft tissues, when that baby comes through those tissues, there's not a lot of trauma. It's, mm-hmm. it, you know, it's kind of a slippery little swim out. Now, babies are coming from inside water, so inside that amniotic sac, into water. So, again, the lead up during the journey of the prenatal visits, all of this is really comfortably explained. So in the moment, any of the guests that are in the room are understanding that, yes, the head comes out and it's under the water, mm-hmm. and the baby is fine. Mm-hmm. So there's not any excitability.
Yeah, and I think that was something that at first I didn't realize, that like, as long as they haven't been exposed to air and right. haven't taken that first breath, they're in water, like they're still in the same environment that mm-hmm. they have been.
And the same temperature, so it's not shocking to uh-huh. them. And the umbilical cord is still intact, so they're getting all of their oxygen still through that umbilical cord. Mm-hmm. So that head comes out, and there's a pause. And then the body comes out. And it's just a beautiful, beautiful, relaxed position for mom. First of all, mom isn't up in stirrups. So it's, you know, a more comfortable position for moms to be in.
Yeah.
Which relaxes her muscles and her ligaments and her tissues.
Yeah.
And which are all the things that you get to work on when that is not the case.
Yes, right.
Yeah. And kind of yeah. the midwives kind of like it when we don't have to do any repair.
Yeah, it makes it a little bit easier yeah. when you've been up all night, I'm sure.
Yeah, we don't need to do that today. Yeah. I think I can't even remember. I can think back our last 10 births, nobody needed stitches. So nice. They were all water births.
Nice. That's great.
And land births are just as successful mm-hmm. because, again, we're not telling a mom to put herself in a position that's not comfortable.
Yeah. Yeah. And I guess that's probably a good point to make, that even though you have the tubs and mm. most women do birth in the tubs there, that's not, it's not like a requirement.
No. It just happens to be where they're comfortable.
Yep.
Usually that's our comfort technique when things get a little bit intense at that very end. We offer the water, they get in, they don't want to get out. All of our equipment to listen to baby and monitor is waterproof.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, definitely. I know myself going through it and having, you know, both a hospital birth and a birth center birth to compare. And you and I have had multiple conversations about this, just in terms of patient-centered care and really, I think both of our focuses are on giving kind of that quality care versus quantity,
right.
where you're just a number, you know, pushing volume through the door. Tell me a little bit how your prenatal visits are different, because mm-hmm. I think that is really important to point out too.
Yeah. So there was a study done, which they probably spent a whole lot of money on studies that are so silly. Just ask a midwife, you know. How long did your care provider spend with you in your prenatal visit? And the study showed that most care providers, now these are the medical model, spend 7 minutes with you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know if you remember the clock that's in my exam room. I took the hands off of it and I wrote with a Sharpie marker all the time you need. So our visits, we schedule them for an hour.
Mm-hmm.
If all our assessments are done and you have no questions and you want to be done in 15, 20 minutes, we can do that.
Yeah.
But we always schedule that hour because if a mom wants to sit and ask questions, we're there for her.
Mm-hmm.
Our best care is given during that conversational care, like I spoke of before. Our best care is given when we know, what are your stressors? What's going on in your family? I had a mom once that was due at the end of May. And I said, so what do you do for a living? And she said, I'm an accountant. And I said, oh, so what does April 15th look like for you? And she says, well, I work 80 hours a week. And I said, well, that's not going to be good for you.
Yeah.
So in our care, we're going to have to talk about that. Yeah. She goes, wow, my other provider never even asked what I did. So we want to get to know our families. We want to know what they do. And not because we're just making small talk. It's mm-hmm. because it affects your care. It affects your pregnancy. It affects your baby.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And I feel like it also allows you really to have a better successful outcome too, because
absolutely,
you have all that knowledge prior to the delivery happening, that, you know, you really get to know those patients mm-hmm. and know what their personalities are.
And that's, again, where we're the same. You're not going to jump in and touch a woman's muscles or ligaments or tissues without knowing her story. Mm-hmm. They're not on a conveyor belt, whether it's physical therapy or midwifery.
Right.
You and I feel like nobody should be on a conveyor belt having the exact same care at the exact same time on the exact same schedule.
Yeah.
When everybody is different
yeah.
and needs different care.
Definitely. Yeah. And I mean, I see it a lot here at the office with, you know, women, the feedback we get are like, oh, they actually took the time to sit and listen to what I'm saying, like the problems I'm having, my concerns.
Right.
And, you know, that's huge, because when people feel like they can actually have the time mm-hmm. to open up, they're going to give you so much more in order to help them
right.
better, in a better place.
There's a famous midwife who was, I just came across a YouTube video, and she said, the very first birth I ever saw was some animals on her farm. She said, and then when I saw my first human birth, it was rather quick. It was like 2.5 hours. And she says, oh my gosh, I wish everybody could birth like this horse that she saw birth. And then she did her research, and she said the women that birth quickly and easily are the women that are going into it without fear.
Hmm.
Because we know fear and tension really play a role.
Sure.
So, again, getting to know our families,
yeah.
to know all their other children, to know who's going to come to the birth, to know how they feel about, if mother-in-law is coming to the birth, how do you feel about mother-in-law?
Yeah.
Is this, you know, yeah. a positive force? And, you know, she'll say, yes, I love her. She's so sweet, and she makes me feel warm and fuzzy.
Yeah.
And like, okay, that's who we want to invite into the room, or sitting in the family room waiting for the baby to come.
Yeah. What's the largest amount of people you've had there for a birth?
Oh, it's one of my favorite births. So I was with a mom 7 times.
Okay.
She was having her 8th baby. Her first was a hospital birth.
Okay.
And the rest were out of hospital. And so she had all the other children. Now, although they stayed at one end of the tub, the head side of the birth tub, the one little girl who was, I think, 12 at the time.
Okay.
She knelt right down and looked through the glass. Some of our tubs have glass sides so that you can see through. And she knelt down and she watched her baby sister be born into the water. But yeah, all the kids were there, mom, nice. Dad. Yeah.
Nice. That's so awesome.
We've had quite a group.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm sure. It's an interesting navigation process.
It is. And you know what? What's ideal for one? We want to make sure that we can support that.
Yeah.
And that might not be right for somebody else, but that's when we're looking at a person as an individual.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. I still can't get over the 7-minute thing. Oh. I mean, I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, they have somebody else. You know, there's usually an assistant, a medical assistant that does the blood pressure right. and temperature and all that before the care provider comes in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, even with PT, it's a lot of places now, the PT spends 15 minutes with a patient, and then they do exercises with a tech or right. an assistant for mm-hmm. maybe another 30. And as a PT, you have a new patient every 15 minutes, right. which is crazy to me.
And you know, this is such an intimate time in people's lives. Mm-hmm. We feel like it's a gift that they're inviting us into this moment, mm-hmm. this time of their life that's so special. And so we want to give the right amount of time that we need to make it what they want it to be.
Sure, sure.
And keep it safe.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, I'm sure that that is probably one of the biggest questions you get mm-hmm. or kind of push back is,
what if?
What if? And, yeah. you know, people are scared that you're right. in the hospital.
Right. So going back to how many buildings I looked at before I chose this location, I had criteria. Mm-hmm. And you know me. I'm total type A.
Yes.
I'm like very specific and everything in its place and a place for everything. And yeah, I'm super organized.
And very detailed and what you know exactly what yeah, you want too.
Exactly. So I wanted one story. I wanted, you know, ground level. I wanted my own parking. But the one thing that was a must for me is I had to be super close to a tertiary center. So Fraterton Children's is 1.5 miles from us. Mm-hmm. I wanted to be in a location where the EMTs could get to us in 2 to 3 minutes.
Yeah.
And they can. And so the what if is very, very rare. Mm-hmm. So less than 0.5%. Mm-hmm. We've had 5 transfers, which maybe 3 were
true emergencies
with ambulances. We have plenty where moms choose something different. Mm-hmm. They're tired, they're exhausted, they want to go and have a therapeutic rest. So medication, epidural, we want to support them through that change of plans mm-hmm. too. That's a car ride. But a true ambulance ride is super rare. But, you know, in that event, I want it to be close. So yeah. luckily, we're 1.5 mile from Fraterton Children's. The battalion chief has told the EMTs, these girls got it. So if they call, mm-hmm. the midwives are on the rig calling the shots. They're our fast ride. They yeah. drive fast. That's their expertise.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like that's always something that, I mean, I know my first birth, that was always a question that we had. And especially your first birth, you have no idea, like, what
right.
to expect. You,
right.
Like, no idea. You can read everything out there. It does not prepare you.
No.
For what really happens. But I think it also, and I have read research studies that, you know, with less medical interventions, your risk for like a C-section goes down. So
greatly.
Oftentimes when women are in the hospital and, you know, things start to get pushed along to try to keep things moving quickly because time is money sometimes in a hospital, that, you know, that increases your risk for that.
Sure.
And so I think sometimes people's views of how births go potentially could maybe be skewed. To
right. And I think there's a right time for absolutely every intervention.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
But not everybody needs an intervention. We're not an endangered right. species. And right. that goes to my, you know, my international midwifery work. And I did my residency in Malawi and Zambia in Africa in the tribes where there was no ambulance to come. There was a cart pulled by oxen if you really needed to get somewhere.
Sure.
And there was no drugs, there was no lights, there was no running water, and we had really great outcomes. Mm-hmm. Really great outcomes.
Yeah.
Because there wasn't all the other interventions that lead to things. Mm-hmm. But again, there's a right place for everything.
Definitely.
And if you're high risk, that's where you need to be.
Definitely.
But the population that are eligible for care at Authentic are all low risk situations.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
With postpartum care, this is kind of a really, I guess, maybe kind of like a hot topic. I feel like more recently there's been articles written that are saying, you know, moms need more care postpartum, you know, the fourth trimester really needs to be kind of expanded. And in other parts of the world, things are very different.
Right.
I know from a PT perspective, in other parts of the world, it's standard care that every new mom goes to pelvic floor PT. Period. Like, that's just...
Isn't that wonderful?
Standard, because, like, there are a lot of changes. Even if you're in great health, you're not having issues, pregnancy definitely still affects the body and impacts so many different areas of the body.
Those changes. Hormonal changes, physical changes, and the event that you just went through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I know you guys do a little different, I think, with your postpartum care for moms. I wanted you to kind of talk a little bit about that, just from, you know, what I've seen with patients that I have seen of yours.
Mm-hmm. So all of our patients are evaluated. Mm-hmm. They're evaluated at the two-week visit. They're evaluated at the six-week visit. And certainly anytime our time is dedicated to them, that whole first 6 weeks. So anytime they call in with an issue, they are the first to get in for a visit. Mm-hmm. There's no waiting. Then when we can really evaluate and see what their needs are, most often you're the number one stop right upstairs. So you can go right upstairs and see Dr. Brenda. Yeah, and it works really. Yeah, it's perfect. It's so perfect.
Yeah.
And it's really because, you know, we honor what the body has done.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to make sure that it remains healthy.
Mm-hmm.
So there doesn't have to be something wrong with you to take a vitamin.
Mm-hmm.
You just know that your body needs that boost and it's a good thing to do. Well, the same thing with PT. You know, some bodies absolutely need, oh my goodness, go upstairs and see Dr. Brenda. And some are like, you would really benefit from staying healthy by seeing Dr. Brenda.
Yeah.
And all of those things are valued and important.
Yeah, and a lot of times I kind of tell people a little bit also that, you know, things may have healed and recovered to a point that you don't have issues, you're not limited in terms of function, but a lot of times there's still some underlying impairments that you can kind of compensate over. And oftentimes then we see this cluster where you kind of get into that premenopause phase where your hormones start changing and impact everything, and now it all kind of goes haywire.
Right.
So I always kind of tell people, even though maybe things aren't, like, terrible, it's always better to, like,
preventative care, isn't it? You know, that's what we should be about, is let's prevent further trauma,
damage,
injury, all of those things.
Mm-hmm.
If we can just take the vitamin, you're the vitamin. Take the vitamin.
Yeah.
Vitamins are good. If you want to take the vitamin in natural form, you know, eat your whole foods, great.
Yeah.
That's us too.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you all assess for on the postpartum visit? Do you assess it for prolapse or only if they typically have symptoms?
So it's a conversation for sure.
Sure.
That's where it starts. And then a lot of times we do assess for those prolapses. We assess for diastasis recti, make sure that, you know, those abdominals are really where they should be at certain points.
Sure.
And sometimes we can see, you know, even at 2 weeks where we think, okay, you know, we see some tissue that isn't as intact as we want it to be, and then we already know that we're going to be coming up here.
Yeah. I actually, there is a new study that came out on diastasis that said pretty much wherever it is at that 8 week mark postpartum, it will stay. They looked at it at a year postpartum. It will remain unchanged from then on unless you do some type of intervention for it, which is really interesting.
See, that's why that 6-week appointment is so imperative, because at 2 weeks we're seeing things.
Sure.
And at 6 weeks we're really saying, okay, now we need to do something.
Yes, so much changes within that time period.
Yeah.
What do you feel like we could do better for our new moms, you know, in terms of that postpartum care?
Support is really important. And that doesn't mean somebody in her space. You know, we send moms home with this, you know, sing-songy ritual. No cooking, no cleaning, no laundry, no shopping for 2 weeks, even if you feel great. No lifting anything heavier than the baby, not even the baby in the car seat. Mm-hmm. And it's not because women feel bad. They feel great when they leave the center.
Yeah.
It's because your body needs to heal. Mm-hmm. We really enjoy showing families their placenta because it's the size of a dinner plate. Mm-hmm. And there's a wound that needs to heal. That came off of the side, the inside of your uterus. Mm-hmm. So that has to form a scab and heal. And just like if you were to skin your knee and a scab would form, if you went for a run before that scab was healed, it probably would break open and bleed again. Mm-hmm. So that first 2 weeks is really important for that healing, where that placenta was. So that's step one.
Yeah.
Then step two is when people come to your home to see the baby, that's great. But I guarantee most people are going to say, "What can I help with? What can I help you with today?" And I would say, I don't know the number, but a very high percentage of moms would say, "Oh, nothing, that's fine."
Yeah.
Well, here's what I tell my families that are going home. You make a list beside your bed of everything that needs to get done.
Sure.
I need a load of laundry thrown in. I need some towels folded. I need somebody to go grocery shopping. I need whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Somebody to pick up pads in that whole aisle, which is confusing for most partners.
Yeah.
And then when somebody comes over to the house, you can say, well, I made this list. Some things take 5 minutes. Some things take an hour. Some things cost nothing. And some things you might spend $20 on.
Mm-hmm.
Pick something.
Yeah.
Because people want to help.
Yeah.
And if you don't allow them to help, you're really dismissing their love for you.
Sure. Sure.
So that's what I think should be done postpartum. Not holding the baby.
Yeah. Well, and it's nice too, because I think the first time through it, you don't know what you need.
Like, no.
After, you know, that postpartum period, you're like, I know I need help, but I don't know what exactly that looks like. So trying to make a list is
and meals.
Ahead of time.
And don't show up without a fully cooked meal for my family.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or I had people that did a delivery gift card, which was awesome because
then you
can
do it when you want.
I feel like for me it was harder. You hit that point where you go back to work. And everything leading up to that, like, okay, like, yeah, it's difficult and it's, you know, you're trying to rest, you're learning a new baby and managing that and you aren't on much sleep. But boy, you go back to work and now you're like, I don't know how to do any of this.
So there's not enough hours in the day.
Saving some of those for that period was great for us. We love that. That
yeah.
was awesome. But
and in every other country or in a lot of other countries, that postpartum period is honored and you're given time off work and it's usually paid time off work and you're not expected to, all right, you had your baby, now hurry up and get back to work. That's just cruel.
Yeah. Yeah. So I have a story that will, I promise, lead to a question.
Okay.
But one of my clients that I work with, after she had her first baby, she had a lot of issues postpartum and kind of got sent around. So she was like referred to PT for, I believe it was for a diastasis. And, but she was also leaking. And so the PT was like, well, I can't treat the incontinence. So go see another PT for that piece of it. And then as things kind of got better, she's like, well, I want to start getting back into working out. So then they sent her to a trainer to work with. And she's like, I was literally going to all these different people to try to work really on like one issue. And so then when she was pregnant with her second baby, she found us. And that was one of the big things. She was like, could you do like X, Y, and Z? Because I want this comprehensive care, because running around to all these different places and having everything.
What a waste of time.
Right. And like, you know, you like everything's so disjointed then too. Like, and there's so much overlap. And so that's one of the big things that she's always said about us, is that we're able to treat all of these aspects of things.
Yes.
And I know your whole vision with the birth center has also kind of been that comprehensive care.
Yeah.
Which is also why you have so many different things within one building.
We try really hard to schedule. If somebody's seeing the chiropractor and then wants to see the lactation consultant before they have their baby and then have a prenatal visit, our girls at the front desk, they're amazing at coordinating those visits. So they come one time to the birth center that week and they see all three of them. Oh, my visit is at 10 and your chiropractic visit is at 11 and you're going to see Molly at 11:30.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Yeah, and I think.
But then again, we're moms.
Right.
So we value that time too.
Yeah. And the logistics of that.
Yeah.
And this is something I've always kind of thought of a little bit more, is like, how can we be better about giving this comprehensive? Like, is there something that we're missing?
Consumers need to expect it, first of all.
Yeah.
They don't know. We don't know that we can expect these things unless we ask for them.
Sure.
So that's a start. I mean, just like you, we always want to hear feedback. How can we do better?
Mm-hmm.
So that's amazing.
Yeah.
That we're willing to accept that, the fact that maybe we didn't think of everything.
Right.
And our families help us.
Mm-hmm.
And they make us better so that we're better for other families. So I think that's key.
Yeah,
but collaborating, you and I, we've always done the group talks and communicated and said, gosh, what can we do to make this easier for families? And I love your other space, but having you right upstairs from the birth center is so convenient.
Yeah. A lot of times when we see patients of yours, we tag team right on to their visits when they come in for you. We do the same and try to book it kind of all at once so they come in and can get everything done without making all these multiple trips.
But again, we're moms. We've been through it.
Yeah.
And we value time.
Yes.
And being efficient.
Yes.
It's just an efficient way to use our time and get the most out of providers that are going to sit down and treat us as individuals.
Mm-hmm. I want to just pick your brain on this.
Okay.
And I think I've told you in the past, but we are just about ready to launch our research project here, working with pregnant moms, women. So hopefully, I think we've got maybe about another month here from when we're recording this to when it will actually be approved and up and running and collecting data. But I want to pick your brain a little, because I know with the water births and just in general, the patients of yours have, less trauma.
Mm-hmm.
Do you, and I know you, and you've said this too, with like the water births helping contribute with that, with allowing the tissue to really stretch, and kind of, you've also, I know you've talked about the water giving some pressure,
counter pressure,
help with that. But do you feel like anything like in the prenatal phase that you guys have done or that you do that seems to help with that as well?
So, because I have been in the birth world for almost 40 years now. Yeah. My first birth in 1980.
Wow.
It blows my mind because yeah. I'm only like 40, right?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, so, you have to start at yeah. like...
Really,
so... math doesn't add up.
Decades ago, they used to talk about partners sharing in some massage techniques, mm-hmm. Some perineal massage. Mm-hmm. And they did some research and we found that that really wasn't as helpful, that it really didn't change the statistical data on repairs. Mm-hmm. Now, you know that myofascial release is something completely different, mm-hmm. and moms that have had prior trauma can utilize that as a great resource. Mm-hmm. And that's something that I only recommend a professional. So thank goodness that you, that's one of your specialties, is to work on those tissues internally mm-hmm. prior to the birth. But I think realizing that the setting that we're in, the fear, the tension, really affect our tissues mm-hmm. when the time comes to have our babies.
Definitely.
So prior trauma, I think seeing a physical therapist that has that specialty and can do myofascial release is wonderful. If you've heard in the past about perineal massage, I think it's great for fun. I mean, if you and your partner want to have fun, that's great. But it doesn't benefit the birth.
Yeah. Yeah, I know more recent studies, it's very like conflicting mm-hmm. data on it. And I think part of it is a lot of people are just kind of like handed an info sheet on how to do it and
not
maybe
properly.
Not necessarily
yeah.
shown.
Yeah. But there's we also know too that the majority of birth takes place in a position that's not natural to a mom.
Yeah, correct.
You know, that kind of stranded turtle upside down on the shell.
Yeah.
Kind of look. You're like, you know, the turtle's trying to turn over, but nobody will give them any help.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the position that it has been adopted mm-hmm. As an easier ergonomical position for the care provider.
Sure.
And that's not what it's about.
Yeah.
It's about letting a mom find her best position mm-hmm. because she will adopt a position that really aids in the baby making its maneuvers to get out.
Yeah.
Without constricting the baby's maneuvers.
Mm-hmm. My whole theory with this research project mm-hmm. is, I mean, we need to release those muscles prior to delivery. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking the deep pelvic floor muscles.
Yes.
Perineal massage, for those that don't know, is really just on the superficial correct. Aspects of things. And I also, I talk a little bit more about this in one of our earlier episodes that I'll link in the show notes with Kegels and that type of thing. But my whole theory is we need to relax because they say the pelvic floor muscles stretch to 2.5 times their length
yeah.
during delivery. And so if things are tight and restricted, how are they going to stretch and expand? But I feel like, and I don't know if you take this approach either, but so many people are just told during pregnancy, like, just do Kegels. Make sure you're doing Kegels because you need a really strong pelvic floor to push the baby. But really, the pelvic floor isn't the one doing the pushing.
No, you need to relax it, right.
It has to relax and stretch. Mm-hmm. I mean, the bulk of what is pushing is the uterus.
Correct.
You know,
and
bringing
I think,
baby down.
You know, when I see moms that need that little extra internal work mm-hmm. are the really super fit moms. Mm. So the moms that are running, that are doing their
running
half monitor.
CrossFit.
Yes. So you know, how beautiful is it that your core has held that baby in so nice and tight through the whole pregnancy?
Yes.
But now it's a time when in labor, your core needs to relax and let that baby out.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the moms that I refer for PT before delivery. Mm-hmm. So the runners, the CrossFit, the gymnasts, yes. Oh my goodness, yeah. The dancers and the college level cheer girls.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Whoa, yeah. My goodness, we have some tightness there.
Yes, I would agree. All three of those mm-hmm. Populations, as a generalization,
right,
tend to have overactive pelvic floors. But yeah, I'm curious to see how this goes. Ooh. And
I love data. I love data. I love research. If you're on our Facebook page, when we have our 600th birth, which is coming up now because we just had 571. So we put out, you know, of course, the fun stuff. How many boys, how many girls, how many were in each birth suite. And then, you know, really how often we needed to do a repair. I think that's really important information for women to see. Oh, gosh, there really is a big difference. So I love that statistical data, and we keep track of all of that.
It'll be interesting to see how things go, because there are so many other factors involved with the delivery that can impact it as well. But so I'm curious to see if there will be a significant difference or not. But so tell me, just kind of wrapping up a little, what is your biggest piece of advice for either a pregnant mom or new mom?
In all things pregnancy, labor, delivery, be comfortable.
That's great advice.
And those words really mean different things through different parts of the journey.
Uh-huh.
When you're finding your care provider, are you comfortable with that person? Does it feel right? And then, you know, moving through that pregnancy journey, and when your instinctual birthing body takes over, hopefully it's allowed to. Is that honored? Are you comfortable? Because wherever you're comfortable is going to be your best outcome.
Yeah, that's great advice. So thank you again for taking the time today. For those listening that want to learn more about everything that you guys do, where can they find you at?
So either AuthenticBirthCenter.com or Authentic Birth Center on Facebook.
Okay.
Call the front desk and come in for our monthly tour where you meet all four of the midwives and the other practitioners. You get a tour of the facility. We promise that we start on time and end on time because we respect your time. We'll talk about finances. How much does it cost? What does your insurance pay? Are we in network? Are we out of network? All of those fun little details that help you make a good decision for your family.
Yeah, definitely. I will link to all of that in the show notes, and I'll also list on there the birth options, when that is, and how they can sign up for that if they're interested.
Perfect. It's free.
So in closing, my last question for you is, what is your current favorite way of practicing self-care?
Oh my goodness. Well,
because it's so important, I think.
I know, because we have long hours. I don't know if you know this. Midwives have long hours. My favorite thing this past weekend is I had my grandson over, and he's 3.
Okay.
And we were digging in the garden. We were digging up the peonies and the Siberian iris, and we were dividing them and taking them over to friends and relatives' houses. And ask a 3-year-old to dig a hole. Oh, he's in heaven. Yeah. So that was my self-care, is digging in the dirt. But I love a Caribbean vacation. Come on now.
Yeah, that, if I know anything,
that's me.
That is you. Yeah.
Wintertime.
Stressed out, book that vacation.
Yes, ma'am.
That's awesome. Yeah. Well, thank you again.
Thank you, Brenda.
I had some really great information and great advice. So,
and thanks for what you do for our families.
Well, same to you. I really appreciate how you guys really work to kind of try to give that care and those choices for women going through delivery.
Yeah.
So, awesome. Well, thank you again.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening to my conversation with Lynette today. Stay tuned for your pelvic floor tip of the day. If you want to find any of the resources that we mentioned in today's episode, head on over to our show notes at revitalize-pt.com/EP04. Again, that is revitalize-pt.com/EP04. And today's pelvic floor tip of the day is for all you pregnant ladies out there. Lay off the Kegels. Instead, focus on pelvic floor relaxation during pregnancy. All right. Thanks so much. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast, and I will see you in the next episode.